gas dropped a nickel nationwide during the past 3 weeks, down to $2.31 a gallon on average. More on these stories from townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 6 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock here on the, it's the 13th of February, 2017. Good morning. Welcome aboard. Wow. Monday. Happy Sunday, sunny Monday. 530-605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com for the people who want to hop in here with us in the chat room. I'm here with Bad Bob. Linda got back late yesterday from L.A. from her a birthday party, and she's got tomorrow night, everybody. It's Valentine's Day at Wind River over in Elements Lounge, and if you haven't got reservations, you should do that because the first seating sold out. So get in there now.
I thought she had something to do with her alumni from
That's next weekend.
Oh, okay.
So I mean she's going down to Palm Springs.
I saw some pictures. That's still a classy looking bunch.
Her agent is 90 years old. Yeah. And her former agent was 90 years old. And as you know, and they all are, I shouldn't say all, but I would say 99% are really quite liberal.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was a little concerned about that. She said because sometimes she and her and Lee would go into these into a restaurant, and Lee had no problem at all talking about President Bush at the top of her voice. and then just looking around going, whoa. Well, not that. I mean, and this lady protected her. She was. And Linda says, my Jewish mother, and she just loved her. And they made a big thing of her coming down, and you know, she sang and you know, sang a song to Lee and all this. So she had a really nice time, even though she left Friday, spent a night in Sacramento, and then drove down there. Oh. And you know where the weather was beautiful up here?
Mm-hmm.
Remember how I went down to San Diego and it was just pouring up here?
Yeah.
And the weather was beautiful down there. And I came back and, you know, it kind of cleared up a little bit. Well, then she left Friday and everything was fine. But Saturday, it poured on her in Pasadena. She said it was raining so hard, it was almost unbelievable.
Yeah, this has been a wet system. And of course, we're going to be talking about the situation down in Oroville Hill shortly. But let's look closer to home right now, Carl. We got a couple of days to dry out, take advantage of it. Sunshine off and on throughout the day, some low tonight. Tuesday, we'll see lots of sunshine, the high pushing up towards 70 degrees. Then clouds move back in Tuesday night. Wednesday, rain starts to develop late in the day. And by Thursday, we will have 1 to 2 inches of rain accumulating, and then as we head towards the weekend, that will continue on. Looking at the longer range forecast, we've got rain showing every day for the next 10 days. Now, be careful what you wish for, I guess, is, we've been waiting for this drought to break.
Yeah, let's talk about Oroville.
We got more than we can handle right now.
Let's talk about Oroville. As yesterday, as everybody knows, they called to evacuate everywhere.
Yeah.
200,000 people got an order to evacuate.
Yeah. Now, let's be real clear.
Right.
The structure of the Earthfill Dam, which is the biggest one in America, is itself holding. It's a huge dam. It's got like 400 feet deep water behind it. But
bigger than Shasta.
Yeah. Well, actually, volume-wise, it's a bit smaller than Shasta.
But it's taller.
Yeah. The dam is higher, yes. It's the largest earth-fill dam in the country. In fact, it's the largest dam, period, at 700-some feet from base to top.
Yeah, it's higher than
everything, right. Extremely long spillway, and therein lies the problem, is that you've got something the size of a major freeway running for the better part of about half a mile down the face of this thing. And it's kind of hard to walk out there and inspect it. And a crack developed, and anybody who's witnessed what happens with a pothole, when you're running a lot of water through any flaw, So the water.
It's a big hole right
yeah.
there.
The hole is like 250 feet deep. It's amazing.
And the problem is that if the water, if too much water comes, it's going to, and that's slowing down, that's slowing it down. So it will go over to the emergency spillway.
Right.
And so, the problem with the emergency spillway is it is a dirt spillway. Is that right?
Right. And when you run water over dirt, the dirt moves.
And the dirt is next to the rock. And if it start, if it came over in a large, copious amounts of water, as which they were fearful of, it was going to wear that down, and then all of a sudden you might have a dam.
The dam itself would remain, but you would lose about 10 feet worth of control, and all that water would come out at once instead of in a measured fashion. Right as of last night, they were letting out 100,000. Cubic feet per second. That's over, that's almost a million gallons every single second coming out of that thing.
And it's still
heading downstream.
And it's gone down a couple inches. So, but, you know, last night, if you looked at Facebook, I mean, people were evacuating, people were offering their homes. I thought it was really nice of Lucky Jezrani to offer his home up. And he did. Unfortunately, it was to, I'm just kidding. Lucky did offer his home up, as did many other people. Saying, hey, if you need a place, and I know it's further than Chico, but if you need a place to stay, we've got, you know, they've got Airbnbs and they've got all types of things for people.
Yeah. Well, even as we speak, Carl, officials are going out to see just how bad it is. Here's an interesting note that's been brought up, though. In 2005, when the dam was being recertified, a few Friends of the River, the Sierra Club, who've never been friends of mine, but the South Yuba Citizens League, they all filed motions to urge officials to reinforce that emergency spillway with concrete because they said this is what would happen. Oops.
And I think that the last time the dam was inspected, I mean, did I read this someplace, is that they said the spillway was okay and that obviously somebody was wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about the main
spillway.
Yeah, that somebody missed something.
That or, freeway running down the middle of the hillside.
It makes you wonder about it. And then, here's something else Linda said. We're talking infrastructure here. She said the roads to L.A. on 5 and down there on those roads, she said if she really believed that she's never seen roads that bad. You know, yeah. I mean things that you'd hit on the main highway. You know, if she says, I can't, you know, people are bound to lose control of their cars if they're coming through here this fast. But the roads were in terrible shape. And then coming out of, you know, where the airport is, you know, the Sacramento airport.
Yeah.
Coming across there, there was a huge wreck, an accordion type thing. Cars under, one car was turned totally upside down. And luckily she was there quick enough that, you know, they had people there that she could get by it as opposed to having it back up for the next 12 days.
Yeah,
but just the infrastructure of our state is in really really bad. Now here's the last part: is you remember here's the state that wants to leave the union, right?
Yeah,
California. And
yeah.
What did they ask for?
Not our president.
Not our president.
Yeah.
Not our we are much better than the rest of this country. Hey, how about $100 billion?
Give us money now.
How about $100 billion to help save our state? Okay, Brexit. I'm just kind of like, not Brexit, but
us
Calex or whatever you fools are calling it.
Give me a break.
Anyway, but yeah, these are the people. Oh yeah, but hey, how about $100 billion right here? Okay. this portion of the show is brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Sleep Number. Sleep Number, one of my favorite experiences of the day is climbing into my Sleep Number bed. You know, this time of the year, you know, you're saying, hey, look, you know, I want to get a new mattress. We want to get a new mattress. And, you know, don't head down to the old mattress store there.
Mm-hmm. Sleep on springs.
Yeah, give yourself the gift of a Sleep Number bed. Discover a bed that adjusts to every curve and contour of your body. That's right, the Sleep Number bed. It's been rated number one by Consumer Reports. We have told you that. But also by J.D. Power. It has highest in customer satisfaction with mattresses. Think of that, by J.D. Power and Associates for 2 years in a row. Think about that. And that with the additional Sleep IQ technology, you can get something that tracks your sleep and gives you personal insights and see how your life affects your sleep. Does it? Yes. And, you know, I can give you an example. Last night, I forgot to take out the trash. And at 11 o'clock, I woke up, and I had not taken out the trash. I got up, walked out, took out the trash, came back in, right back to sleep.
Now
I'm not sure how my sleep number worked on that one, except perhaps that when I came back, it welcomed me right back in. My sleep number setting is 60. Linda's sleep number setting is 40. And, you know, here's the thing is when she's under the weather a little bit, she can sleep in there. And a lot of times, all the other times, she can't sleep on other, you know, she gets up when I get up and all this. But today she was, I can tell when she's sick because she's sleeping back mm-hmm. there in her bed. Right now, you can get a queen C2 mattress at only $599.99 and save 50% on a limited edition bed. You're not going to get any better beds. We've been talking about this for years. We would not say it if it wasn't true. It's the best mattresses we've ever slept on. Head on down to the Sleep Number store, Target Shopping Center. Tell them Carl and Linda sent you. Tell them to lay on the bed there and have them show you how it works. We'll be right back after these messages. It's about 17 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock here on the 13th of February. 43 degrees, going up to 68 today. It's going to be a beautiful day. Get all that work in because Wednesday it's going to start raining again.
Have you ever had your vehicle in a shop for collision repair? When you called to check on it, did no one seem to know anything about it? Don Seck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Did you feel like a number when you were given canned rhetoric or generalization not specific to your vehicle? Although we are recognized as an authority in frame and suspension repair, we are primarily an auto body and truck collision repair center. When you select Coachmaster, we will tell you exactly how we are going to repair your vehicle. You will know the person in charge and get direct answers to your questions and follow-up phone calls, because every vehicle is personal to us. With our knowledge of the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to get started quickly. A reputation for excellent service and high-quality repairs takes years to build, and we intend to keep it. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. We're doing a lot of heater upgrades, so if you think you want to try a new on-demand kerosene water heater or a Toyo heater, give us a call before winter. We can give you a free estimate. Robin down in Corning is very busy with all the truckers, farmers, with the ag season in full swing. Joe in Weaverville got his new awning up and all the lights are working for all the early birds. The Redding plant is selling a lot of ethanol-free 93 and a whole lot of barbecue bottles. And if you need a forklift tank, we got some of those in now. We have a lot of bulk oil in your container or ours, and we're open on Saturday till 3:30 at the Redding plant. Northern Lights Energy, everything from race car fuel, motor oil, Red and Clear diesel, and gasoline. In South Redding, we have the Muse Card Lock. Corning, Weaverville, and Redding. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Must be Budget Blinds. Because only Budget Blinds brings a showroom of great window fashions to your door. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Janet. Love the new designs.
Colors and patterns you can't find anywhere else. Brought right to your door. Exclusive product lines for every budget, including Roman shades, rugs, pillows, and so much more. To transform any room from ordinary to extraordinary. Plus, we do all the measuring and installation for you. No more running from store to store or taking your chances online.
Budget Blinds is a home convenience concept. Whenever you call Budget Blinds, you're always going to get a live person on the phone. We'll come out. We'll bring all sorts of different samples. We'll listen to your need. Being a franchise owner of Budget Blind, a big part would be our warranties. Our warranties are unbeatable. With no questions asked, no matter what happens to your window coverings, you're covered in.
So when you hear, think Budget Blinds.
If you're in need of custom window coverings, give Budget Blinds a call today. 226-9027 or visit us on the web at budgetblinds.com.
And now back to our show.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. calling to buy. Good morning, everybody. 20 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock here on the 13th of February. 43 degrees, going up to 68 today. Hey, the weather reports are always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a local business, veteran-owned down in Anderson, where they treat their customers like warm friends. Give them a call, 365-3793. They have discounts for seniors and veterans. Great people over there. Okay, I usually don't do this. But I get into Grammys, all right? Because you just have to, I didn't watch it. But I like to see the follow-up on it. And so because you just know, because the producer of the Grammys was encouraging everybody to make a political statement. So the first political statement was made by this young lady.
Joy Villa, whose music sales have skyrocketed.
Joy Villa shows up, and she's got this kind of like a Superman cape on, and you can't see what she's wearing. She pulls it off, and underneath that is a red, white, and blue dress that says, Make America Great Again, and on the train of it around the bottom's got Trump. Now, she's already gotten Twitter that have threatening to kill her, okay, of course. But it was just, that was the first big splash at the Grammys. Now, I watched, excerpts of others. There's one, one guy was really, these two rappers were really being, they were being very harsh. But somebody was there said, you know what? I said, okay, let's have a contest here. How many people think there, how many pro-Trump pro-Trump statements would be made at the Grammys? And then how many anti-Trump statements will be made at the Grammys? Well, if you said zero for the pro-Trump, you would have won. If you'd have said 100 negatives, you'd have lost. Mm-hmm. Because, as the guy says, he says, and this is a conservative guy, he says, I counted them, he says five. There were only really five statements that were, anti-Trump. And you think about it, That's a lot less than I thought was going to be. I would have thought that there had just been, now there were other things, they're marching people up in the stage of all, of all ethnic groups and religions and all that. But, okay, that's all I'm going to say. Except yeah, the girls, everybody's gone out and bought that girl's record.
Yeah, her EP jumped to the top of Amazon's top digital paid albums, reached number 7 on iTunes charts.
Well,
and here's a statement. Go big or go home. You can either stand for what you believe or fall for what you don't. Above all, make a choice. Agree to disagree.
Is that what she said?
Yeah.
Hey, she's young. Hispanic, too, isn't she?
Yeah.
Or,
I'm not sure.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Doesn't make any difference. She's American.
Yeah.
Oh, I just saw something the other day, and I was...
Kind of buff.
Yeah. Is that the word for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I wouldn't tick her off.
Okay. Hey, Chad Reglan. You remember Chad Reglan was the EOD sailor, explosive ordnance from here that was killed over in, I believe, Afghanistan.
Right.
On a patrol. They had a ceremony down in San Diego. Jeff Nelson brought it back to me. And the Navy has named their newest enlisted barracks after him, Chad Reglan Hall. And Chad, of course, being from here, had joined the Navy, had gone through explosive ordnance disposal. Now, here's a kid that joined the Navy during this war, and everybody knew about IEDs and all that. And he joined and volunteered for the explosive ordnance disposal team. Now, every one of those guys I've ever met there's something a little bit different about them. And I don't mean weird. They're calm for the most part. They're calm. They do their job. And it's a matter of fact, they go out there in the middle of some really horrible stuff. Reglan had finished up his tour and came back. And one of the guys, one of the other sailors who was going back had been injured. Somehow, Reglan literally turned around and went back out again.
Yeah.
And during this time when a patrol was killed by an IED. I didn't know that part. I knew that, he was, of course, a hero. But the Navy thought enough about this young man to name this new living facility. And by the way, they're not barracks anymore. They're like a they're like a college campus dorms.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they've got their rooms. They may, you know, maybe a couple of them into a room. They've got their own bathrooms. It's they're nice. They can live fine.
Not 50 guys in the shower
all at one time. And there's no hot water. Okay, no, it's not like that anymore. The first one gets the hot water for like 10 seconds. Everybody else gets. Yeah. Medium cold.
The EOD guys I knew. Yeah, go ahead.
But anyway, but they named it after him. And I thought, you know, what a splendid thing. And thanks so much to Jeff Nelson from the Patriot Guard Riders to stop by and give me a copy of the program that were there. And his parents were there. And it was a nice thing. And it was from a kid that was local here that was killed in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
So.
I was friends with a couple of red shirts, insert Star Trek joke here, when I was on the carrier, which happened to be the Enterprise, and my favorite one had stenciled on his jersey, EOD, if you see me running, try to keep up.
Yeah, and the other one where the EOD guy's working the explosive, and there's a guy behind him in the EOD outfit with a paper bag that's blown up. he's getting ready to pop it. But I tell you what, okay, you know what, we laugh about that thing. But I,
mechanism when for these guys.
I'm in a convoy coming down, about an 8-vehicle convoy. We're blasting down the road, and we got a general officer with us, and we come up on the road to a pink bag. It's a pink, like a shopping bag that's like the size of a grocery store bag, but it's pink. And it just stops everything. And we're sitting there, we're watching it, and we're calling for ELD to come up, who wasn't with us. And the sergeant and I are talking, and he goes, "Sir, they wouldn't put a bomb in a pink bag." And I said, "Would you look in a pink bag?" He goes, "Nah." And then he goes, "Oh, maybe that's why they put it in it." And I said, "Well, could be. Or maybe somebody just dropped off a pink shopping bag that just happened to land just like that, and it's a joke. And right now they're zeroing us in with their mortars and rockets. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that happens a lot too.
Oh my goodness!
And as it turns out that here comes the EOD team, and we took off, and they I guess they took care of it. We never did find out if it was a bomb, but they used to hide bombs in things like dead dogs. No, they'd be out there. I mean, anything. And it would just amazing how they would wire these together. So when you think about EOD going out there, there's probably some EOD guys around here that probably come in and talk about it. It is just, oh my gosh, did you just show me that it's 6 feet from the top?
Yeah, Lake Shasta. I looked and I realized those were numbers from like last Friday.
Yeah.
So I pulled up. There's a site that I can put in the chat room, but current elevation of the lake 1,061 feet, full pool is 1,067, so we are 6 feet from the top. Oh my!
Which explains why so much water is going down.
Yeah, they're letting out right now. They're pumping out of the lake. Outflow is at 60,000 CFS, which is why the Sacramento is nice and high. The trouble is though. The Feather River, of course, is being pumped full of water from trying to get
Orville
down. So they're going to have to kind of meter these things so they don't inundate Sacramento and the entire delta with all this water. So it's a balancing act right now.
Linda's parents used to live there off the river there, off the delta. And, I mean, they were up probably a good 50 feet. And they've had their house flooded before, they've got all the way to underneath.
Rio Vista is probably getting a little nervous right about now.
And she said she was driving back over the the bridges back there from yesterday. She said that water's up to, you know, almost where it was last time.
Yeah, the Yolo Bypass is one gigantic river right now.
Well, people are talking about watching the things flowing down the Sacramento like picnic tables. So you figure out, where did that picnic table come from? I mean, we're talking about a big picnic table. So where'd that come from? When does Riverview have problems? You know, when do you have to hit your tee shot and use a boat to get to the green? Anyway, hey, we got to take a break. We've got a new show starting tonight. Did you know that?
Oh, do we? Yeah.
Radio Wasteland. And you
far out.
Yeah, this is if you remember a few years ago, I did something called Outside the Wire. And Outside the Wire, we talked to a number of guests that had, they were Lemurians. This one guy was Lemurians, and people that were searching for Bigfoot, who had seen Bigfoot, a half hybrid or a hybrid alien and a human We had her on. We had people that searched and searched for ghosts and their stories about the ghosts they had found. I mean, just, you know, I personally enjoy that.
Get the SETI people on again.
And so now, the SETI people and people, yeah. So we're going to start one of those shows tonight with a local guy, and I think
he's
here.
A character,
Chauncey. And he's not only that, but he's one of these computer minds that can, you know, that, and I can talk about, you know, here, this is what you need to do to a computer. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like he doesn't, you know, understand that too. And so, but he and a couple others have started a show, and it's going to start tonight. But we're going to talk to him when we get back. This portion of the show is brought to you by Home Helpers. If you're looking for in-home health care, you're not going to find any better place. You can hear them just, you know, you can hear them advertised everywhere else, nationally and all this. But it's no better. You're not going to get any better. The best is Home Helpers from right here in Reading with Sharon Clark and her company. Whether it's short-term in-home health care or long-term, people feel better while they're in their homes. Sharon's people are professional, hand-selected, background-investigated, insured, bonded. So you don't have to worry anything like that. Put that right out of your head. You just want somebody that's going to take care of your loved ones, right? Well, Sharon Clark's people do that. And she really, really is an assistance to veterans and their families. That's Sharon Clark at Home Helpers. Give them a call at 226-8350. We'll be right back after these messages. It's 7:31 in the morning, 43 degrees, going up to 68 today, and we're 6 feet from the top at Lake Shasta.
Lonely days are gone, I'm going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spend, got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone, I'm going home. My baby just wrote me a letter.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Okay, if you guys out there have procrastinated yourself into a corner getting a Valentine's gift for your special girl, a stop by Goldmar Jewelers on Monday is a must. We not only have the largest selection of diamond jewelry in Northern California, but on Monday, just in time for Valentine's Day, we'll be hosting the La Venta of New York special event. This one-day-only Valentine's extravaganza will feature an incredible selection of jewelry styles exclusive to La Venta. Save yourself and visit Goldmar Jewelers on Monday. Choose from our thousands of beautiful styles of diamonds and make sure this Valentine's Day will be one she remembers.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Good morning, everybody. It's 25 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. Yeah, it's a little strange out there. Have you noticed that? 43 degrees going up to 68 today. Weather reports. Always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. 365-3793. Phone lines here are 605-4567 here at Free Fire Radio in the studios of KCNR 1460. And tonight, I talked a little bit about it, we are beginning a new show. It's called Radio Wasteland. And I'm here with the host of Radio Wasteland. Good morning, Chauncey.
Good morning.
Good morning. Tell us what Radio Wasteland's about.
Basically, a radio show that kind of covers everything that's probably not supposed to be covered. You know, everything from, conspiracies and stuff like that to crazy little creatures nobody's ever seen. But
Lemurians.
Right. Lemurians will be on there. Or we'll strive to have them on there. I don't consider myself an expert on that one, so... My word is going out. If you're a Lemurian, I'm interested in hearing from you.
Well, you know what I did was I looked up the Lemurian Society.
I did too.
Okay.
I did too.
And yeah. That's what I did. I just called the president of the society, and he came on the show.
Oh, really?
And it was really interesting. And, you know, Bob, I don't know, Bob, if you were here for that one, but, you know, they explained who the Lemurians were and how the inside of Mount Shasta is honeycombed out. Mm-hmm. And there could be up to – they have room for, I think they said, 25 million, but there's not that many in there. Yeah.
They hide their spaceships in lenticular clouds, yes.
Yeah. So.
I've also heard that there is a pyramid in there with a inverse pyramid underneath it that goes into an alternate dimension.
Mm. So, I have not heard that.
You know, each conspiracy theory has its own little tendrils that go out, and I don't know if it's fair to call Lemurians a conspiracy theory.
They're not a conspiracy theory. It's a legend.
I like that.
They're a group there. A conspiracy theory is the ones where you have...
like the magic bullet.
The grassy knoll.
The grassy knoll, the magic bullet, the building 3
right.
or 5 or whatever it was on
9/11
and all that. All this, you know, all those are, and I tell you what, you can have people forever talking about those.
Right, right, yeah.
So you're going to be kind of like our own local version of, and I can say this, Coast to Coast.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Except earlier.
I don't think it will come as a huge shock that I've been a fan of Coast to Coast for about 20 years.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, excellent. That was one of my first radio jobs was engineering Coast to Coast at this. Because back in those days, you didn't have the computers to do the stuff, so we had to insert the commercials manually.
It used to be very manpower intensive in radio. Now you can literally
have a whole
station with probably two people running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah,
really.
Right.
You could have a salesperson and an engineer that just loads things and records them and then puts them in.
One conspiracy is I hear Bob's not really a person.
That's what. Just ask my ex. She'll
hey, tell us a little bit about you.
By day, I'm an SEO and web developer, and by night, I'm an SEO and web developer. The radio show is going to be one of my rare occasions, other than Friday night date night with my wife, that I actually stop working to do something on purely a hobby sort of love level.
Well, I've sat in one of your classes there, mm-hmm. and in the SEO workshop. And it's you're a great instructor.
I appreciate that.
I mean, you have you explain it. It's you make it easy to understand. And of course, this is one of the things that we're doing is on our side here with Joe McKenna is offering internet marketing mm-hmm. plus on air. Anyway, but going back to I just want to give your background because now how'd you get interested in this?
Well, ever since I was, before I could remember, my mom would tell me that I was that kid My brother was the kid that they always had to keep their eye on because they never knew if he was going to light fire to something. And I was the kid that could be handed three crayons and a couple of pieces of paper, and 4 hours later I'd be in the same corner. So I was always kind of imaginative, and then years later that went on to playing in bands and stuff like that. And really my mind would always wander to the fantastic. You know, I'm a massive fan of horror films and science fiction films, and, you know, eventually your mind starts to wonder, like, you know, is there something to this stuff? And then, of course, when I found some of these other radio shows, you know, I started to really think, oh, you know, some other people are starting to think, is there anything to this stuff?
The point that always, and I took this, and I tried to emulate him, and I can't remember which one it is, George Norrie or who's the other guy?
Art Bell.
Art Bell. I don't remember, because I don't, and I've heard him, you know, when you're going across country and it's midnight and you're in the middle of nowhere, that's all you're going to listen to, frankly.
Keep
that,
you awake.
That or Hispanic music,
yeah.
No matter where you are, at night at 2 o'clock in the morning. But the thing that I always recognized was that they could be talking to somebody that said, hey, I'm an alien and, you know, I'm the third generation alien. And they would talk to them just like we're talking and talk about, you know, their families and gosh, you know, tell me a little bit about your life. And they're all in certain areas because we are different. You know, we look humanoid.
Right.
We are different, and that we have our own doctors, and we've raised our own, you know, doctors and, you know, lawyers and all these things. So they're all, you know, they've assimilated,
right.
but they still have their own groups there because of their and just listening to him ask the questions of the person, and he wouldn't drill down or try to embarrass him, but
right.
he would just start peeling the layers off.
Right.
After the third layer, things get a little shaky, but and then he'd ease off. Other times it would just get stronger.
Right.
And so you have to ask yourself, you know, is this something? It's almost like, could it be like a kind of like a bad movie where you really are talking to somebody,
right?
And they just are, because they just feel like telling you. Gosh, you know, I've been wanting to tell somebody. You know, we've been here for 200 years. I just feel like telling somebody what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, and I definitely, you know, I personally don't believe, but let me clarify, that doesn't mean that I disbelieve. I just don't believe. I don't have anything in front of me to have me believe, but I really would like to.
Well, you're a scientist, kind of logical kind of guy.
Yeah, and I really would like to, but I in no way disbelieve, you know. So if somebody comes to me,
I'm going
to
have an open mind.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think it's just like it's like presidential politics. You have to have an open mind.
What choice do you have?
Regardless
of what side you're on, you're there for 4 years.
There you are, a minimum. Even though you see silly things happening, so what about ghosts? And
ghosts?
Because we had ghost chasers on too.
Ghosts. I may be a little closer to believing in. I don't know if I straight up believe in ghosts, but I do believe that there is some definite phenomena that is, you know, either residual energy or stone tape or something like that.
I have no idea what stone tape is.
Stone tape is like there's. There was this famous old writer in British sci-fi television, Nigel Neal, and he wrote a movie called The Stone Tape, and it was basically the idea that energy from a situation, in this case a death, could be written into grooves onto stone or other material, much like a record.
Oh, okay. I mean, it just kind of like absorbed it.
Right. And so
Then it would just kind of eat.
And then it could also be played back by certain situations. Yeah.
That's interesting.
And so I definitely think that there's something to those things, because this is definitely the topic where I've had the most amount of people that I know personally, you know, look in the eyes, have known for a decade, have had something happen to them.
So what's tonight's show?
Tonight's show is really just going to cover a lot of topics, you know. So, you know, being the maiden voyage, part of my goal is to sort of build a lexicon of these ideas, you know, because a lot of them, you know, when you start a show, it's very much ideas. It's nebulous and abstract and in your head. And so I'm hoping to
It'll solidify as soon as you start.
Right. I'm hoping.
You'll be surprised.
Hoping to turn it into somewhat of an encyclopedia. So I'm figuring each segment will cover a topic that we would like to discuss on the show. And then people will have the option of calling in, and I hope that they do. And then we'll move on to another topic and just kind of move along across the topics that that we find interesting and would like to cover. And hopefully one will strike a nerve with the local community, and it'll be something that they have a story that they would like to share with us. And, of course, everybody can be anonymous if they'd like.
Well, you know, you've got the chat room going also.
We'll have Facebook as well.
In Facebook. Yeah. UFOs. They're just saying that they're just spotting UFOs. I think they were just releasing the imagery from someplace down in South America. I want to say Brazil or something.
Yeah.
The pilots took. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, from like 6 years ago.
Right.
And that they're just releasing it now that they're having there's no way they can explain what they saw. What about UFOs? Don't tell me that. I'm going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, you tell me what your research in that has been.
There's your cliffhanger.
There you go. There's my little hook. Hey, it looks like Channel 7 and 24 is back on Dish Satellite. So I imagine somebody blinked there, and I don't really care because they're back on the air. But if you want to have the best dish service you're ever going to have, why not go local? Why don't you dial the numbers 241-DISH? That's 241-3474, and talk to B&T Satellite and Doug Tooley, a local guy who's made real good here with Dish Satellite TV, a veteran who is going to show you how to save $100 on your bill and also help a local veteran save $100 also. That's right, $100 for you, $100 for a local veteran. All of this at B&T Satellite. Give them a call at 241-3474, 241-DISH. Don't call the 800 number. We'll be right back with Radio Wastelands.
Orchard Nutrition Center knows that your time is valuable. Now you can place your deli order online, and we'll have it ready when you're ready. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Facebook page and click on the Use App button. From there, you can select to order delicious deli items such as deli cheeses, meats, a variety of fresh-made salads, or you can select to build your own custom deli sandwich. Choose from a variety of freshly baked breads. Add your favorite cheese, meat, condiments. And don't forget to add your favorite veggies. And if you'd like to add some extras, that's okay. Create your sandwich your way. And now you can pay online with our secure online checkout, and your order will be ready in 30 minutes. Whether a single item or a large order for your office or family, skip the checkout lines and log on to Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook at OrchardNutrition.com, or download the Orchard Nutrition Center app from Google Play or the App Store. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
This is Carl on the Bot, and there is only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Reading. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the vitamin shop. My Sleep Number is 40 and I feel great.
Right now they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target Center next to the Vitamin Shop.
This is Joe McKenna, CEO of CloudWise Academy and your host of the Digital Revolution Show. If you own a business, run a business, or want to start a business, then this show is for you. I'll pull back the green curtain exposing how the internet is impacting your business and give you the rules and tools to take control. If it's related to the internet and matters to business, we'll be talking about it here. Tune in every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. to the Digital Revolution Show on KCNR 1460.
Conservative? Flaunt it. Call Carl and Linda right now.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Unexplained Mysteries. Tonight on KCNR 1460. Beginning at 6 p.m. Radio Wasteland with Chauncey Haworth, who is our guest right now. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Northern Firearms Instruction. If you're looking for concealed carry training, you're not going to find it any better in the state than right here. This is what retired command sergeant major Ted Leidy does for a living. He's got 25, 30 instructors, all of them NRA instructors, all of them he's put in through advanced training to teach. And I mean, his classes are full, and there's a reason for that. Great training. And then you get a superb training on the pistol itself. Whether you're going to carry or not, it doesn't really make a difference as long as you understand how to use a pistol, how to make sure it's safe. And think about this. Okay, I'm not going to carry, but I would like to know more. I would like to know how to shoot, the basics on shooting and safety. Doesn't that make sense? Well, you're going to get that in this class, plus all the legal parts of it. All of this at Northern Firearms Instruction. Give them a call at 530-999-1822 or register online at readingccw.com. For you guys with tactical rifles, we're having a tactical rifle class out there on April 30th along with the advanced pistol. So if you're thinking about, okay, I'm beyond that beginning, it's time to take that next step, give them a call. Okay, Chauncey Haworth is here with his new show, Radio Wasteland. It's going to debut tonight at 6 p.m.
Six to eight. Monday nights.
6 to 8?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I didn't know it was 2 hours.
Oh. I should have known maybe that. It's 6 to 7. I don't know.
I should know that, I think. Anyway.
This would be a helpful piece of information.
Yeah, but we'll find out today.
Isn't one of you guys in charge here? Where's this Linda I keep hearing about? Well, maybe she knows.
She probably does. Okay. Okay. So tonight. So you've got to kind of like set the framework for the rest of the season, you might say.
Yeah. My goal is to sort of build up an encyclopedia of local experiences. You know, they don't have to be local. Of course, when we cover the things, you know, we're going to try to give a good amount of history on it. But on our website, there's a, you know, report and experience button. Once again, everything can be anonymous. The website is radiowasteland.us. And, yeah, we want to cover everything. I have really no limits on what I would like to cover. Just if we absolutely know the truth, I'm probably not interested.
Okay. Well, that's really good. Well, that's cool. Okay, so the Blair Witch Project. You remember that movie? Okay,
now I am a horror movie fanatic.
I know. You are aficionado. And we talked about this during the SEO class. Don't ask me how we got onto that, but it was a break, and I was just waiting.
I have a
feeling
I brought it up.
Well, you brought it up, but it was during a break. I mean, when you're doing the search engine optimization, that's what we do. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about that. Now, the Blair Witch Project, which some people will say it's one of the worst movies ever, but it – I'm just saying is that the way it was.
I'm personally offended, but go ahead.
I know that. Because of the way it was two guys with, you know, the handheld camera.
Right.
The premise, though, was so good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and some people, you know, to this day can't watch it. They saw it once, but they can't watch it again because of the last 10 seconds of the movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, the rest of it is kind of, you know, a lot of faces in there, but it broke the genre. It introduced a completely new type of horror.
Found footage.
Yeah, and found footage. Oh, that's cool. And then the way it ends, and if you haven't seen it, you need to see it because the ending of it is. I mean, you talk about the money shot. You talk about that perfect that perfect laser beam
right.
that hit the you know that hits the right spot. They got it. So I see what they did was just simply spectacular, and they made so much money off it. If they had done nothing else but buy an island in Tahiti and stayed there the rest of their lives.
Well, they both made the two directors have both made a couple other movies as well that are pretty good. But the Blair Witch goes beyond being a movie into the realm of being a hoax, and that's why I think a lot of people got so offended by the situation because. You know, just like with so many things, when something first comes out, then other things take it and they kind of sour the concept over time. But when The Blair Witch first came out, nobody was really entirely positive that it was fake, for one. It was really quite well acted, and when it came out, people were actually entertaining the fact that it maybe wasn't fake. And these guys were really smart about what they did. You know, a year and a half before the movie even came out, they were going to the town of Burkittsville and putting up missing persons posters for the cast members. They had
really
2 years before they had a whole website about the history of the Blair Witch, which is completely made up. You know, and
did you know that, Bob?
So they had their own hoax and conspiracy behind this movie.
So they generating the buzz.
They built it then.
And
so if you went and looked at it, you went, oh, my God, this is true.
Right. But then on the flip side, you have other people's attitudes. That year I was watching the Oscars and Chris Rock was on there and he said, you know, it's amazing, Blair Witch. Most returns on the money cost them $36,000, and I only have one in question, and that's where the other $35,000 go.
Well, you know what? There's been – but you know, isn't that it? Isn't it the concept? When you have the concept and you're the first one there, it can cost you $36,000,
and
absolutely. Then you make $50 million off it, which I'm sure they made that much off
it. And I bet you most of that money went into developing the 16mm film and editing. You know, the stuff that was on digital was, you know, but they did have one 16mm camera, which probably a good chunk of that money went into developing that film.
Probably. And then, gosh, and because once it got started, everybody wanted to see it.
Oh, absolutely.
And there was all people were talking about it, joking, making jokes on national TV and all those things.
Oh, so. Yeah. Loved it or hate it. They were all quiet in the theater.
Okay. Now, Chauncey, I don't want to get away from Radio Wasteland
too much.
But I want to go back one more time.
All right.
I asked you what was the scariest horror film because you are a horror film aficionado. Do you see a direct relation between the horror films and the I don't know, the Radio Wasteland type of thing of unexplicable things that just kind of scary and – but yet
– Yeah, yeah. I'll definitely, you know, take it further than horror films as far as art imitating life. You know, one of the big moon conspiracies – there's a lot of moon conspiracies.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even get into that one.
And one is that it's a hollow spacecraft. And really there were lots of science fiction stories about – it being a hollow spacecraft.
The moon?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, I feel that it's very common that – well, the beauty of science fiction in general is that it takes sometimes social and sometimes scientific ideas and it makes them palatable and you swallow the little pill. And then afterwards you realize, well, maybe that is the case. You know, 1984 is maybe a prime example of a book that opened people's eyes to a possible conspiracy. And so, yes, absolutely.
Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah.
And then there's others like
Anthem.
Anthem.
Brave New World.
Alice in Wonderland.
Absolutely.
Well, about taking the pills, making you bigger or smaller.
But, yeah, I think science fiction and fantasy in general opens people's minds to the idea, and then it makes the concept a little more palatable.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think so. No, I think it is because you read things from somebody in the 1800s said there will be a time – that we can send photographs. He said
Nikola
photographs.
Tesla.
Yeah, Tesla said it. And it was a great, you know, back then when he first got started, you can send this stuff everywhere in the world. And what he was talking about was the internet.
Yeah.
Even though they're, you know.
Well, I've been asked to, what may turn into a local film festival, curate a list. And I've been asked to, out of the century of great science fiction films, yeah, there's a lot of stinkers, but there's some that were just absolutely spot on. Out of a century worth, they want me to come up with three or four that represent the genre, and that's it's a little bit of a struggle.
Science fiction.
Yeah, we're going to try to do a festival this summer.
Forbidden Planet.
Forbidden Planet.
That's probably the top of the list
now.
It's got to
be in there someplace.
The archetype of Captain Kirk is there in Forbidden Planet, along with the robots everything.
I tell you, it's another genre breaker, you might say, that started. I mean, that's still around, and when you look at it today, it's still relevant.
Considering what they did. And I'm thinking of them, of course, Big Bugs. You can't go wrong with Big Bugs.
Right.
Of the Triffids.
Chauncey Haworth is here with us. He is the host for Radio Wasteland. It begins tonight at 6 p.m.
Yep.
For an undesignated period of time. So check in at 6 o'clock or 6 p.m.
Might
tonight.
Be over in 15 minutes.
No. I can't wait. I'm going to listen to it tonight. I just can't wait to see what you start off with.
All right.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to be with Rachel Hatch, Institute of the Future. It's kind of one of those days. We're going to be talking DARPA. If you don't know what DARPA is, you need to hang on because you're going to learn a lot today. We'll be right back.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Water levels at Northern California's Lake Oroville are continuing to drop and stopping water from spilling over the Big Dam's potentially hazardous emergency spillway. Meanwhile, California Office of Emergency Services Director Mark Garlducci says the governor has taken some action.
He has issued an emergency proclamation for the situation. The proclamation will give us the ability to take all actions necessary.
Major General David Baldwin says the California National Guard has some soldiers and heavy equipment on the way.
We're sending 8 helicopters to assist with the spillway reconstruction activities.
Hundreds of schools closed today in the Northeast thanks to heavy snows. National Weather Service forecaster Bob Orovec.
North of Boston, they have received heavy snow and high winds. The snow has let up somewhat in Boston, but it still is coming down. And the winds are high, but the worst effects are right at the moment across the coastal portions of Maine.
Hundreds of schools from New York City's northern suburbs to central New York are also closed. With his health secretary now in office, President Trump is looking forward to the dismantling of Obamacare.
The president says reforming health care is a difficult process, but his White House team is working with GOP congressional leaders on repealing and replacing Obamacare.
We're going to end up with tremendous health care at a lower price, and I think people are going to be extremely happy.
And with Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price finally confirmed, Mr. Trump says they can get down to the final strokes. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Gasoline prices on the way down over the past few weeks.
They're down a nickel over the past 3 weeks to $2.31 per gallon for regular grade. And since January 6th, they're down about 6.5 cents.
Oil industry analyst Toby Lundberg said yesterday the decline comes despite a slight rise in crude oil prices. More on these stories from townhall.com.
The U.S. economy has been getting stronger, and home values have been increasing. This good economic news presents a unique financial opportunity for you. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Many of our clients have been taking cash out of their homes, a strategy that might work for you. The smart move is to refinance your mortgage right now with Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.18%, APR 4.35%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN to see how much we can lower your mortgage payment. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the third year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
White House advisor Stephen Miller appeared on ABC's This Week yesterday saying a lot of people voted under the names of dead citizens in last year's election.
We know for a fact you have massive numbers of non-citizens registered to vote in this country. Nobody disputes that. And many, many highly qualified people, like Chris Kobach, the Kansas Secretary of State, have looked deeply into this issue and have confirmed it to be true.
Meanwhile, one immigration rights group has filed a petition to join a lawsuit by Washington State and Minnesota against President Trump's temporary executive order banning travel from 7 predominantly Muslim countries. On that note, Miller says it's simply the president fulfilling a campaign promise.
The president has been clear, equivocal, unequivocal, and explicit in saying that we are going to focus on removing individuals who pose a threat to public safety.
The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals unanimously refused to reinstate the order last week. More from townhall.com. China has made its first official response to North Korea's latest ballistic missile test.
The Chinese government has been under pressure to condemn the most recent ballistic missile test carried out by its traditional ally, North Korea. Now, Beijing says the test was clearly in violation of a United Nations resolution. Foreign Ministry spokesperson Gong Shuang warned of the possibility of heightened regional tensions. The Trump administration has criticized China for not doing enough to rein in North Korea. But at a regular media briefing in the Chinese capital, Gong Shuang responded, saying the root cause of the problem was North Korea's relationships with the South and with the United States.
That's BBC's Stephen McDonald. The Coast Guard in Alaska searching for a vessel that's been missing in the Bering Sea. Ships and aircraft have been looking for the 98-foot-long FB Destination with six people on board. Some debris that could be from that vessel was found over the weekend. More of these stories can be found at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, everybody. It's 5 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. 5 minutes and 30 seconds after the hour of 8 o'clock right here at Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. February the 13th, 2017. 530-605-4567 is our phone number. And we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Bad Bob.
And good morning, Carl. Flood advisory still underway for until 9 o'clock tonight. Then we get a little bit of a break overhead. We just got an update. 43 degrees in Redding. Mix of cloud and sun, and then cloudy skies this afternoon. Tomorrow should be mostly sunny, but then tomorrow night, more clouds move in and rain by Wednesday, and we could see a couple of inches as we get towards the weekend. That's not such great news for the folks down south, particularly since right now Shasta Lake is now only 6 feet to go before it reaches full capacity. So there's a lot of water and not a lot of places to put it right now. All this brought to you by, of course, Shasta Gas Propane.
Where their customers are warm friends, an Anderson company right here, owned by Chuck and Judy Kinney, Vietnam veteran and just great people, where they give discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call, 365-3793. Won an award for hiring veterans in the state. He was one of the top three small businesses in the state that hired veterans. Let's go to the phones. Sally, good morning.
Good morning, Carl.
How are you, Sally? Hey, I understand, Sally, you got your surfboard out and you're heading to Orville Dam.
Yeah, I guess we're going to have to get our boats out, aren't we?
Wow.
Hey, tonight I wanted to invite all your listeners to come on out. If they have questions about what is happening with the state of Jefferson, tonight we will have answers. We're going to have question mark tonight.
Okay.
And I know that a lot of people, you know, think maybe we've gone away, but we haven't. We are in the process, phase two of the process of becoming a state, and people need to know what we're doing and how we're doing it. So I just invite your listeners and anybody who wants to come on out tonight with questions, come on out, ask your questions, and get some answers.
Okay.
At 6 o'clock, 3276 Pacelli Lane.
Okay. Thanks, Sally.
Thank you, Carl. Have a great week.
You bet, hon. Bye.
Okay, bye.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. Guess what tomorrow is, everybody? Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got two things you can do tomorrow. One, you run down to Four Winds Jewelry. It's open at 9:30 in the morning. They have the finest selection of jewelry. They're the only full-service jeweler in Redding. They have a watch repairman. They have it all there. They can design. They can build. They can clean. They have it. They have it all. That's the first thing you do. And then tomorrow night, go out to Wind River because Linda and her band, Lady Bott and the Bluebirds, are having a Valentine's Day party out there with Joe Larson as a special guest. Give them a call out there and make your reservations. It's going to be an Elements Lounge. steak and lobster out there. I think, well, in fact, they've got a special menu for two people that is just a knockout menu you're not going to beat. So, Wind River tomorrow night at Elements Lounge for a great night, a night of romance on the river. Now, I am here, drum roll, with Rachel Hatch. Good morning.
Good morning.
Institute of the Future. Mm-hmm. I love having you on here. Because
it's great to be here.
Well, you know what? There's, you know, when we go from Radio Wasteland that we got into science fiction, and on the front of Rachel's computer,
laptop, yeah,
her laptop, it says any useful statement about the future should at first seem ridiculous. Absolutely, you know, when you think about mm-hmm. that, it's that when people said things like Tesla said it back in what, the turn of the century, that in one day, images, words, everything's going to be just shot out across the globe. And everybody kind of looked at him a little strange. But he was kind of ahead of his time anyway.
Right, right.
Think he was an alien?
There are certain people who have this kind of prescience where they, isn't, you know, they can sense something. Mostly, I think, because they're tracking some of the early signals of change that are happening. Okay. So the ridiculous futures, you know, that's by, that quote's by Jim Dator, who's a famous futurist. And he really is constantly scanning for those early indicators of future directions of change. And they may seem laughable at first, you know, like what you were saying with Tesla. But it turns out that most things that actually end up happening, you know, they're not overnight successes. They take decades in many cases arrive on the scene.
And, you know, and I guess when you see the early science fiction movies and mm-hmm. then, you know, like, you know, we're traveling to the moon and, you know, and then after – of course, as science moved past it, and they seem so laughable, but still, they kind of had the idea in,
right.
in what they were doing.
Right.
Tell us, and I know it's hard to believe, but there may be some people that don't know what the Institute of the Future is.
We're an almost 50-year-old organization. We actually celebrate our 49th birthday this week. We're a nonprofit research group based in Palo Alto.
Uh-huh.
So like you would expect from any Silicon Valley firm, we look at tech futures. We also look at trends in a wide variety of other spaces, governance trends, education, health and healthcare. And our goal is to make the world rich with foresight. We really think that the future would be a better place if more people were thinking systematically about it before, you know, the future happens to us.
And I don't want this to turn into something, but do y'all ever look at future conflicts, the things that will bring on future conflicts in the world?
Certainly there's some kind of geopolitical analysis. I think what the Institute really tries to do is to look at, you know, how technology, culture, resources, all of that, you know, comes to bear in shaping change over time. And, you know, you can see if you look back at our 2007 10-year forecast,
yeah.
So the forecast that really holds for today,
uh-huh.
part of what we were describing then was kind of the rise of class, especially in the U.S. context, as a distinction, as a differentiator, a feeling mm. of difference between people. And, you know, as I try to make sense of the election in this moment, it feels like there is something of that that's actually played out.
I think so.
So
and then it's
fun to look back.
It is. Know? And that's cool. So you can look back at 2007. Now, have they been really wrong on anything? Did they think like some things were going to be, yeah, it's a slam dunk, it's going to be there in 3 years?
Well, you know, I would say there have been a couple of misses over the years. So, for mm-hmm. example, when we were doing our analysis of the automobile industry, of course, right now we're thinking a lot about self-driving cars
right.
and automation in that space. When I first joined the Institute, one of the surprises, I guess you could say, for us was the rise of SUV vehicles. In the U.S. context in particular, that became a trend in the auto space. And that's largely because we were looking at some of the global factors around rising costs of fossil fuels and some, you know, we were making assumptions, extrapolating forward from those drivers of change.
So you missed the SUVs.
We missed the SUVs.
Isn't that weird, too, because now they're making more SUVs than they
right,
are
other, than, right.
than there are small cars.
Well, I think this is where you really have to look at the interplay of technology and culture.
Mm-hmm.
And culture was a big part of that,
right.
especially in our context.
And the technology is better gas mileage.
Getting better.
Cars.
Getting better.
Yeah, I mean,
yep.
they're not the 50
yep.
or 60. Okay. We're here with Rachel Hatch from Institute of the Future. We're going to take a quick break right here because this is – we're going to talk a little bit about that, but we also want to talk about DARPA. and yes. some of the things they're doing. And I just happen to be familiar with DARPA for a variety of reasons. And when they worked for me and at one time, or at least a department then, and then mm-hmm. I worked for them when they hired me to go do some things. And then so and there's a lot of misnomers about what DARPA is. And, you know, sometimes yeah. I mean, I've even seen them in TV shows being the evil geniuses or something that, you know, they're trying to destroy, you know, the world.
Enslave mankind
in DARPA.
Force dogs and cats.
I'm going to tell you about the fifth floor, though. So and this is a true story. Anyway, that'll happen as soon as we get back. This portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair, a veteran-owned business with Jeff Wirtz. There's nobody better in the business than fixing a windshield that's got either a chip, small chip in it, or a crack over 2.5 feet in length. He can do it all. He has a special compound that, no, this isn't something he made in his laboratory. No, this is from a national company, but he takes it in. He makes sure that it's the environment is controlled when he puts it on. He brings it into his shop. And then that crack that I had a crack over 12 inches in length 9 years ago on my truck. Hasn't gotten a bit bigger, anything, can't see it. He does a great job. Give him a call at 241-8373 or just stop by 3208 South Market Street. Let him see the windshield. Okay, we'll be right back with Rachel Hatch and a little bit about the future.
Patrick for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
You know, Powerhouse Solar has been a local family-owned business since 2003, and solar is all they do.
Solar, electric, battery backup, hybrid systems, and pool solar so you can swim more months of the year.
Solar energy saves you money every month, and they have financing options available. Just give them a call for a free estimate. It's 275-5600, or visit their website at powerhousesolar.com.
They sell the best quality solar products from SunPower. SunPower has the highest efficiency panel in the world with the best warranty in the industry, 25 years bumper to bumper.
Powerhouse Solar offers a lifetime warranty for workmanship and installation to the original owner at the original location. So check out solar. May be able to reduce your electricity costs and help save the environment.
Give them a call, 275-5600. Like SunPower, Powerhouse Solar has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating.
Check out their third-party customer reviews at powerhousesolar.com. Then call 275-5600 for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
This is Joe McKenna, CEO of CloudWise Academy and your host of the Digital Revolution Show. If you own a business, run a business, or want to start a business, then this show is for you. I'll pull back the green curtain exposing how the internet is impacting your business and give you the rules and tools to take control. If it's related to the internet and matters to business, we'll be talking about it here. Tune in every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. to the Digital Revolution Show on KCNR 1460.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Strike it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, cut it, paste it.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
Carl Bott here at 19 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock here on the 13th of February, 2017. It's 43 degrees. It's going to go up to 68 today. Weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Lake Shasta is 6 feet from the top, but they're letting out billion gallons.
It's quite a bit right now. The release was like 60,000, I think. Have to look again.
Anyway, and then Lake Orville. Lake Orville right now. 100,000 people have been evacuated. What? 183, I thought.
Yeah, anyway, close to 200,000 evacuations.
Or evacuated. And rain's coming back Wednesday, even though it's starting to go down. You know, they're dumping it as fast as they can out of there. Now the rain's coming back Wednesday. I'm just, you know what? And Governor Brown is going to take, he's already taken hits on this.
Yeah, no.
As well the government should. And, you know, he's the head of the government. And if this spillway goes, I mean, I don't think people realize what a disaster this could be. I mean, they are not over exaggerating if that dam, you know, if just 10 feet of that dam drops.
Yeah. You know, the cost to repair this is probably going to be right up there with what it would have cost to build the Sites Reservoir in the first place.
Sites Reservoir. I'm telling you, you know what, people need to learn. Anyway, okay. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Alliance Heating and Air. And with another better-known business right here in the North State that was voted best in the North State last year and could be voted the best in the North State every year because that's how good they are. Martin and his people treat you like family. You're not going to find a better place to have your heating or air conditioning systems looked at. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. Outstanding people. We use them. We're here with Rachel Hatch, Institute of the Future. Now, we talked a little bit about that. I love talking with Rachel because Rachel's always got these ideas. I mean, the things that they study and all this.
We geek out.
We geek out. You know what?
Let's call people, it what it is.
It is. People say, well, you're not a geek. Oh, yo. You know what? For so long, I was a closet geek. And then I've come out. I've actually built a website by coding. You know, I did that. You know, I mean, it's like, oh, now it looks like compared to other people, it's probably like the child with crayons, but I still did it.
Yep.
Anyway, and we're really into the internet side of this. How long? Okay, before we get to DARPA, I just got to throw this. How long before print disappears?
You know, I don't have a forecast on that, sunsetting.
I don't think it's going to go right away because I think people still like to hold a
There's
book
a
in
ritual.
Their hand.
There's a ritual, yeah.
And we discussed this the other day over this about the paper. With some of us were – I mean, the argument was – it wasn't an argument, of course. But it was – discussion was, why do you need a paper? Because somebody tried to look at something. Well, they were trying to pay cash at a place. And the people had to bring somebody over to take the cash because they couldn't just take cash at that register. You had to change registers. Then we talked about, you know, papers. And one person said, well, you know what? I just like sitting down on Sundays with my coffee and reading the paper, as small as it's gotten, and it's most of it is ads, but it's still, you're kind of holding it in your hand like that. And I think it's going to be a long time before people are past that.
I have my iPad, I have my Kindle, but I also have a shelf full of paper books.
Yeah.
Something very visceral about it.
I know. I've got a whole collection of books that I think, I should just, I'll pass it down. Probably a lot of them the veterans home would like, but other, I've got all types of stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yep.
Okay, DARPA. What's DARPA?
So DARPA, the acronym is for the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, and it's almost 60 years old, and its mission is really creating breakthrough technologies for use in national security, as you know from your time working with them. And I love the way they put it, that it's really about preventing technological surprise and about creating technological surprises that keep any opponent on their toes.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know, the origin story was around when then the Soviet Union launched Sputnik, and this came as quite a surprise, it turns out, to the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
Department of Defense.
Yeah.
Would have been in 1957, I think. And now, you know, as they've gone through the past almost 60 years, now they're about a $3 billion annual budget as part of the U.S. government. And
that's the $3 billion you know about.
That's right, right. And
they've got black programs that nobody will ever find that money.
Yeah. They play such an interesting role.
And I don't mean
that
in a bad sense, but I mean, they've just got stuff that are just, it's just, when you said $3 billion, I just went, anyway. I mean, you can't see my face, but I'm like, ah.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
No, yep. there's a lot of money in technology.
Yep, and they do so much that's important to the innovation ecosystem. So every technology that's now a major market force today, take virtual reality, for instance, you know, that was incubated way back when within the DARPA ecosystem, and similar with the internet. The ARPA, it used to be called ARPA, not DARPA. Right. And so the ARPANET was the precursor to the internet.
Well, the internet came out of that. And so people say, well, Al Gore said he invented it. No, but what Al Gore did, though, he recognized how big it could be.
The transformative potential.
And he went into an office where there was a briefing and he looked at it. And he was, I think, instrumental in pushing money at it to start, you know, because this was the internet was among the armed forces, you know, like this, you know, so we could pass information back and forth. And then, but he recognized, and some other people recognized, really how big this thing was.
Yeah, yeah. So it starts, you know, with classified purposes, and then eventually, you know, there's also some uses for academics on university campuses to communicate with each other, kind of expert to expert. Soon people start to realize, well, this actually could be used for normal people to communicate with each other, and not just one-to-one, maybe one-to-many. Maybe there's something like social media, and the rest is history.
Yeah. And then look, and the rest is history. Anyway. Okay, they're working on things. We worked on what I was working with them with. I was in the Marine Corps warfighting laboratory. We were working on after. If you have to go back to Mogadishu when we had Black Hawk down, the lessons we learned out of that with having small units in combat in a big city and the problems we had in the communications and the people getting the information, literally leaving people behind because they couldn't find them and they couldn't talk from one street to another and the different services couldn't talk to each other. All of these were identified amongst – well, there was bad planning in that thing too, but the technological sides of it. Well, the Marine Corps fought in a lot of build-up areas. And so that was on the extent we were doing was something called Urban Warrior. And it was a three-year program. Mm-hmm. And it culminated in Oakland at the hospital – at the abandoned – well, at the old VA hospital there in 98, maybe 99, that summer, 99. Governor Brown was in, Mayor Brown of Oakland. San Francisco at the last minute wouldn't let us do it over at the Presidio that was abandoned. And he let us come into Oakland because he realized it was good for the country and good for their economy because we brought in a bunch of ships and all that. And the whole thing was being able to communicate in an urban environment and push information down to the individual Marine via our own loop and using agents within the technology to go out and look for things. So that we had people from Cal Poly, from Jet Propulsion Lab, Stanford Research Institute, SpyWars, all those guys, DARPA, the labs over at Kirtland, and that all working on different aspects of it.
So, yeah, one of the things DARPA does so well is to bring together experts from who are working themselves are working on transformational projects, but they bring those minds together in one place, and there's a combinatorial effect when that happens that you witnessed firsthand.
Well, we see now things from back then now that are starting to come. You know, one of the guys I worked with there, we just had dinner together in San Diego last week, and we talked about that. How many of those things have come to fruition? And how things that we had brought out have already were adopted and changed already, they were adopted
evolved,
and changed and
right,
evolved like
right.
that. So, you know, when we finished, we didn't know, well, you know, it worked, but, you know, but now, you know, the idea of heads up displays on visors, on your helmet, where you can see what's going on around you, you're touching things and it's, be able to show you a street over from drones that are flying down and all that. So it was interesting. And the idea, I didn't realize which, you know, until today when you said it, is the idea was never to be surprised.
Right. And to create, technological surprise.
Anyway,
also.
So that was my time with DARPA. And then they hired me later to do some work for them in reconnaissance and surveillance stuff. So it was an interesting thing. So it was interesting times back then.
Yeah, I bet. I'd love to hear about the reconnaissance stuff, because I think some of what DARPA is doing so well right now is advancing drone technology in particular, and there's surveillance capabilities that are part and parcel of that. And of course, you know, in the military context, there are certain applications of that.
Sure.
We always had to think of, you know, 20 years from now, 50 years from now, how will those types of capabilities be utilized in a civilian context, just like all of the other technologies like virtual reality.
Well, they're talking
ARPANET, internet.
Yeah. They're talking drones delivering. I think Amazon's already started delivering in some places with drones dropping packages on your front yard.
Yep, and drones are being used in a lot of emergency situations. I mean, Oroville is on my mind, actually, in that regard, as people maybe need aid dropped in different areas.
Well, they can keep a real close look long-term.
Surveying damage.
Yes, you can have a long dwell presence over an area like that. I'm with Rachel Hatch from the Institute of the Future, and we're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at, you know, we're talking about Valentine's Day, right? We're talking about Dandelion Boutique, 1322 Pine Street. Oh, my gosh. Guys, you're looking for the one. You're looking to hit the home run. Go down to Dandelion Boutique. See, talk to Linda. Talk to any of the ladies down there. Trust me. Brighton bags, Brighton jewelry, Miss Me jeans, all these things that they have. If you can't get a home run, at least a triple, out of Dandelion Boutique at 1322 Pine Street, you are not trying. Here's your chance. That, you know, okay, Christmas is okay, but it's Valentine's Day, guys. I've already had my instructions about things that Linda would like to see. And not big things, but just, you know, like, oh, hey, don't tell me what to do, but I'm glad she did. But here's, I'm helping you. Dandelion Boutique, 1322 Pine Street. Yes. Open Monday through Saturday. We'll be right back after these messages with Rachel Hatch.
Hi. I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
It's termite swarm season again when termites quickly expand their already large colonies. Because of the quiet and hidden nature of termites, they are often undetected until the damage has already occurred. If you suspect your house has termites, call the professionals at Big Time Pest Control immediately for a free estimate. Big Time Pest Control will guarantee extermination of termites, insects, spiders, and rodents. Call 530-242-8830. Big Time service at a price you can afford. Big Time Pest Control.
Have you ever had your vehicle in a shop for collision repair? When you called to check on it, did no one seem to know anything about it? Don Seck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Did you feel like a number when you were given canned rhetoric or generalization not specific to your vehicle? Although we are recognized as an authority in frame and suspension repair, we are primarily an auto body and truck collision repair center. When you select Coachmaster, we will tell you exactly how we are going to repair your vehicle. You will know the person in charge and get direct answers to your questions and follow-up phone calls, because every vehicle is personal to us. With our knowledge of the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to get started quickly. A reputation for excellent service and high-quality repairs takes years to build. and we intend to keep it. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Redding has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Abad. Good morning, everybody. It's 26 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock right here on February the 13th, right here in KCNR 1460 studios, Free Fire Radio.
Might be a good time to billboard our upcoming show. We had an inquiry about it.
Well,
6 o'clock tonight.
6 o'clock tonight. It's Radio Wasteland with Chauncey Haworth, and it's going to be, everything from conspiracy theories to science fiction to, all that stuff. Ghost, the Lemurians, all that kind. You know, that kind of stuff. It's our local coast to coast here, except more. That starts tonight at 6 p.m. There's going to be all types of different things on it. 43 degrees, going up to 68 today. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. No rain in this forecast till Wednesday.
Thank goodness.
And then here it comes again, because as we all know, Orville is under evacuation orders. And of course, the scumbags are out there already looting. That's one of those times when you should have, you know, Overwatch. I won't get into that. And to talk about that. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue, a veteran-owned business that gives the best haircuts in the world. Yeah, the world. I'm going there today because I am incredibly shaggy. Yeah, I know. Rachel, go.
No judgment.
What? Incredibly shaggy here. And there's discounts for seniors and veterans there, and it's man's last stronghold. What else could you want? That's Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue, right across from the subway. I'm here with Rachel Hatch, Institute of the Future. I'm just breaking her up. She feels pity for me, I'm sure. Okay, we're talking DARPA. Now, DARPA's working on something cool. They always work on something
cool. Everything cool.
I mean, here's my last DARPA story.
Good. Keep it coming.
X-Files. Remember X-Files?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. One of the X-Files, they had, he was in DARPA, supposedly in DARPA, talking, and he got into the fifth floor. In the fifth floor is this large room where the aliens were at. And they were all out there kind of being, you know, on life support, and probably 75 of them.
And you're talking aliens from outer space.
Aliens from outer space. Yeah. That's right. They're out there. And that was the story.
Uh-huh.
And so it come out like a week or 2 weeks before I went to DARPA. And I'm talking to the guy. And this guy is he's a very cerebral kind of guy and all these things. And I go, and we're talking. I said, okay. I said, hey, can I go on up to the fifth floor? He goes, you can, but we've moved them. Broke me up. We've moved them.
Anyway, gotta have a sense of humor.
You gotta have,
to work
yeah.
There.
You know what it was. So, oh yeah, those. And you see,
lots of discretion. Yeah, and a sense of humor.
I'd show up with a coat and tie, and you know, because you know, guys in Catch Me Hurt Me T-shirts running by. You know, the PhDs. Okay.
Yeah.
Now they're working on something that's really close to home around here, as far as sex trafficking and those things. What is this?
Yeah, and well, this was a surprise to me to come across this project called MEMEX that DARPA is working on. MEMEX has a long history just as a concept, but the thing that links to our local area is there are coalitions here in the North State that are working on anti-trafficking efforts for mostly women and kids who are being sold into that. And DARPA, of course, takes a tech angle at it. So they're using technology to fight human trafficking. And the MEMEX project is basically designed to help law enforcement officers and others perform online investigations to try to hunt down human traffickers. So, of course, this makes sense. They had the ARPANET, the precursor to the Internet. They have many, many decades of really studying how these technologies evolve. And here they're looking at human trafficking patterns in online spaces, both in the kind of conventional internet and also in what's called the dark web. And I'm sure some of your listeners are familiar with this.
What's the dark web?
This is a version, I guess you could call it a version of the anonymous internet, and it's accessed through systems like Tor and others.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where a lot of illegal and illicit activity happens. It's powered by a similar architecture as the mainstream internet that we think of and we know today. But it allows for access, at more anonymous, less trackable access to things like online marketplaces where illicit activity happens. So drugs are traded there. Human trafficking also happens there. So, of course, DARPA is on top of this because they're tracking criminal activity,
And
globally.
We know about this, but we haven't shut it down.
Well, I think part of this project is really to equip a really distributed network of mm-hmm. law enforcement to aid in that endeavor. So what they're basically looking for, as they describe it, are online behavioral signals, especially in ads that pop up in contact, numbers that are listed at a certain frequency
mm-hmm.
That occur in those spaces that help to detect whether a person is being trafficked or not. So the project, if any of your listeners are interested in learning more, the project is called MIMEX.
MIMEX, Bob. Let's write that one down for later on. We can do something
MIMEX.
With it. MIMEX.
Okay.
MEMEX?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Not to be confused with the tape company.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Is it live or is it MIMEX?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. The what else?
Well, so I actually have a question for you. Maybe we can do it after the break, but I'm just curious, from your experience meeting people in the DARPA context, how do people get into that line of work, or what were those people like that you met? I mean, you mentioned a little bit earlier there's some academic, maybe professorial types, but...
A lot of, I think what happens is what the government will start a project. Their department heads will have a project, and they go out looking for people, for contractors. In some cases, mm-hmm. like me, they came out and they hired me. Others that are there working in their different divisions are I think that the ones they attract are people that mm-hmm. think outside the box, totally.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
In a lot of cases. Others, though, are the grinders that come in there. They're never going to be the department heads on that, but they're going to be ones that grind out how to do this. And they're really, they're very, very good at it, very bright at it. But their idea, they don't have the, at least in the couple of departments I saw when we were working with people. Some people were out there thinking about, what about this? How can we do this? While others were thinking about, you can do this by going from here to here to here. Like that grinding.
Mm-hmm.
But they would never, ever have that breakthrough of sending a message. It's like, communications can go like this.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but I ran into those people. They're not just at DARPA. You get into places like Stanford Research Institute mm-hmm. or Cal Poly.
Mm-hmm.
You start talking agent technology back then, and Dr. Jans Pohl was the guy that was doing this, and how you could put agents inside in your hard drive, that when you hit something, it would automatically go out and start looking for all the information about it. Agent activity inside your computer. That's what we call them, those agents. Uh-huh. And then you had the guys down at Kirtland, at the Kirtland Air Force Base, at the Kirtland Labs. That the guy that headed that up was they were doing things like building self-healing minefields. Okay, kind of strange. Self-healing minefields, acoustics that could tell you where snipers were in an urban environment. So it would, if a round came, it would immediately turn something in that direction to show where it came from. So that if you're walking down an urban environment and a sniper shot at you, the device would turn and face that direction it came from. Now, if there's a lot of rounds fired, it's not going to do that, but for one, it could. Or a machine that would track somebody, that you could put a machine gun in an area and it would just track back and forth and would fire when something came into its
We didn't like that too much because, frankly, you get lost in the urban environment and you don't want something. You want something in there.
You're out there.
Yeah, you want something that says, don't shoot me. Don't shoot me like that. But it worked. I mean, we'd run back and forth. It's fun. Holding a shield while it shot paintballs at us. I mean, it would sneak around. I mean, you couldn't get past it.
Yeah. Supposedly, South Koreans have these things on the line, theoretically, with a person on the on-off switch, but they are autonomous weapons.
I know. And you can link things to like that. But this guy, then at break, he and all of his scientists would put on inline skates and play roller hockey and bash each other. I mean, there would be guys coming down to there with, I mean, you know, stitches, because they do that at noon. And they would just be hard at each other. And then they'd go back to working and building, and coming up with all these ideas and, you know, a lot of the drone technology, nanotechnology, where they could throw millions of things into the air that would be like a net that would talk to each other.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, as it traveled along the air, on the air, you know, as the wind would blow it, they would talk to each other.
One-shot micro sensors. Yeah. That are literally light enough to – the battery only has to last for a few minutes. It's in a battlefield situation.
Sensors that look like rocks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You would just throw in – you know, and also relay devices for your radios, because radios in an urban environment go out because of the height of the building. Yeah. So you would take these and just, you know, trail them behind you like that. These are the kind of things, and all the, you know, these guys, you know, you would love it.
It strikes me that people who work in that kind of space, they have to be willing. You know, we mentioned ridiculous futures earlier. They have to be able to believe the impossible is possible.
Suspend belief on things.
Yeah,
and think about, well, why can't we do this?
And
there's people out there that's just, you know, that can grasp that whole thing. Like you guys down there at Institute of the Future. I mean, you're going, I think this could happen in 7 years, but don't limit yourself.
Right.
I'm going to ask you, because we've got to take a break. What do you think in the next 7 years?
Get ready. Get on the phone with your stockbroker.
Well, that we're going to see in the next 7 years. We'll be right back after these messages.
Out there have procrastinated yourself into a corner getting a Valentine's gift for your special girl, a stop by Goldmark Jewelers on Monday is a must. We not only have the largest selection of diamond jewelry in Northern California, but on Monday, just in time for Valentine's Day, we'll be hosting the La Venta of New York special event. This one-day-only Valentine's extravaganza will feature an incredible selection of jewelry styles exclusive to La Venta. Save yourself and visit Goldmark Jewelers on Monday. Choose from our thousands of beautiful styles of diamonds and make sure this Valentine's Day will be one she remembers.
This February 14th, bring your special Valentine to Wind River Resort and Casino. In Elements Lounge, it's Lady Bot and the Bluebirds performing from 6 to 9 p.m. Featuring Cleveland Bonet on keyboards, Bobby Viramontes on drums, Bruce Kalin on bass, Joe Larson on trombone, and yours truly, Linda Bott, singing my favorite romantic standards. Make your reservations today. Call 243-3377 and make your Valentine's a night to remember.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland. Join us Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Root Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Bott here with Rachel Hatch, Institute of the Future. I just want to remind everybody that tomorrow night, Linda's going to be in Elements Lounge singing with Lady Bott and the Bluebirds. And it's Valentine's Day, and they got a special menu. It's going to be great steak and lobster and all types of things for a very, very reasonable price. All of this at Elements Lounge. Give them a call, 243-33774. Reservations, because I think the first seating, which is early, and is pre-filled up, but you can get in there and right before the show starts and have great dinner and enjoy us down there. Okay, I'm with Rachel Hatch, Institute of the Future. When Linda was coming back, I may have mentioned this already, but she's coming back. She stopped at McDonald's, and in the McDonald's was already the two
The counter.
Well, there was a couple people behind the counter. Then they had the two, what's the word I'm looking for,
cash
guys?
Cash registers?
No. I want to say icons. That's not it. The two things that you poke the numbers into. The fake things there that you go up and you order at now. What's the word?
Kiosk.
Well, I guess a kiosk. I keep wanting to say icons, and that's wrong. The kiosk where you can go up and you order.
With a touchpad.
They had two of them there, and then also a person. And people were lined up at them. They're my friends' is future. And it's out there right now. So it's no longer the future. It's the present. Now, Rachel, one of the things we wanted to talk about was when we start talking about jobs.
Right.
And bringing business back in from overseas and all these things. The one thing they're not really talking about a lot is robotics.
Automation. Yeah.
Automation. Yep. Artificial intelligence and how that – well, that's something separate. But how automation is going to impact us.
Right. And, you know, it's important to think about, you know, global markets and bringing jobs back affects real people's lives. But sure. I can't help but think that the kind of white elephant the elephant in the room that we're not talking about is automation. And it's critical for the next decade. You know, you can take – Foxconn, the factory where most people, if any of your listeners have iPhones, your iPhone mm-hmm. may have been made in China at one of the Foxconn facilities. They've set a benchmark of automating 30% of their factories by the year 2020. So that's 3 years from now.
3 years from now. So that's 30% of their people be out of jobs.
Right. Well, productive capacity that would be automated.
Right.
But if you start to measure it in jobs, so last year they cut 60,000 jobs across their factories all at once. So think about the scale, you know, of production that's required for all the iPhones in the world. 60,000 jobs. That's real humans, you know, who are experiencing that. So it feels like, you know, no conversation about the future of the economy is complete unless you're really talking about that.
Well, when you look at when you're looking at the future there at the Institute of the Future, when you're looking at the economy, so this is part of it. So then that's got to go into the education side of it too, right? I mean, they're entwined because mm-hmm. if you're going to automate, it means those jobs that of the building engines like they did and they're doing it in Louisiana. We went from a 200-person job to a 50-person job.
Yep.
We've got to be training our workforce to be able to
– to do new kind – you know, perform new kinds of skills and competencies. So some of the higher kind of critical thinking skills are still important. Creativity and kind of artistic expression, although many of us may not go about our days thinking about ourselves as artists, that's something that's a bit harder to automate. But we're definitely going to see both kind of machine augmented jobs in the next decade, you know, where there's really human machine symbiosis, humans starting to augment our capabilities using automation and machine assistance. And then also just obsolescence. And, you know, I think about our area in the North State. We have some experience with obsolescence, right? I mean, if you think about some of the industries that we've had here over the decades. And I like to think that here in the North State, we might actually be able to face automation with sober eyes and just look at it and say, well, how can we think about the way that's going to impact us?
And that's, you know, and I hate to keep going back to this. But this is the things out at the Venture Hub with the teaching people how to use a computer, be on the webs, get jobs. And those people are getting jobs, by the way. You know, they're taking these classes. And because that to me, and I'm probably just oversimplifying it, but it's like the Ford Motor Company of the future. Everybody worked on the Ford Motor lines, right? Great jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, it provided a living for their families, a retirement, the whole thing, summer vacations. The web and the internet are going to, and everything associated with that kind of technology is going to be that for our kids.
There's
coming
some
up.
Value. There's some value in there. That. Yeah.
And the, and it is, you know, self-driving cars. I mean, they've got it now, and this look, I would put this on my car, is one that parks you. You know, if I've got a truck, I've got a, you know, a full-size truck. Okay, park me in this, parallel park me right here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm parked.
Right.
You know, that's cool.
Right.
I can live with that. So, but I'm not sure about just driving itself. I mean, the ones I've seen, there's like no way of taking it over.
Well, two of the biggest names in the automotive business just signed a deal to fund startups with new technology. Jaguar Land Rover. These guys know a thing or two about transportation, mm-hmm. and they've got an incubator going for new technologies in transportation, different ways of looking at it. It is predicted, maybe Rachel can weigh in on this one, that the privately owned car will be phasing out, especially in urban areas, in favor
yes.
of electric shared vehicles that you call one up, like you do an Uber now,
and it
you
shows
use
up.
It. When you're done with it, yeah. it goes back to recharge and wait for the next person. Mm-hmm. So we get rid of all those parking spaces.
I think that is an easy step.
Absolutely.
And
then cities, you know, municipal governments, when they try to figure, well, how are we going to do this in our town? They have some choices to make. Do we want to optimize these kinds of systems for environmental efficiency? Do we want to optimize it for, you know, making the most money through routing people, you know, in these self-driving cars? How will we interface with private industry? I personally think that the communities that are getting more proactive about intentionally experimenting with that will position themselves well for the next decade. And I think those conversations are actually starting to be had uh-huh. here in our community. You know, Adam McIlvain, who's on the city council now,
yeah.
is very forward-thinking in terms of looking at these future technology systems. And
yeah, what's our downtown going to look like? Do we want to have it so that there is no cars downtown? That is, you park in one spot, you hop into something that's just going to take you down here.
Right.
I'm trying to figure out how I can buy a Segway so mm-hmm. I can, because I'm close to here, so I can just ride my Segway from my house to here, you know, and then plug it in. And but one of the things I think the city needs to do is figure out places that people can plug in electric cars.
Yeah.
And you know, if we jump in on this thing, and so that you just kind of restrict every vehicle from downtown except bicycles and you know, little Uber type cars. Yeah.
Well, this is where I feel like we risk asking the wrong questions as a community if we yeah. don't get ahead of these future
we
trends. So all the conversations about what about parking,
get rid of the cars.
Right, right.
I didn't really mean that. You guys
literally.
I didn't mean that literally. Okay, you still need cars, but no, but down, but yeah, and how you can make that work. There's a lot of things out there. Artificial intelligence. We've got like 3 minutes. That was one of the other things.
Oh yeah. So there's machine a book that learning. If anybody is geeky, like the three of us here in this room, you might appreciate a book that recently came out. It's by Kevin Kelly, you know, world famous technologist, and it's called The Inevitable. And it's about 12, you know, technological forces that are shaping our future. One of the most prominent ones in his book is artificial intelligence. And he recently did an event, a talk at Institute for the Future. And here's the quote I just want to leave people with, that the business, he said, the business plans of the next 10,000 startups are really easy to forecast. And, you know, he said this right in the heart of Silicon Valley. The business plan formula is this: take X, whatever it is, and add artificial intelligence. Period. So, you know, I'm looking forward to the next startup weekend that happens in Reading. I hope that there will be startups that are starting to think about how to actually leverage artificial intelligence, machine learning, in the context of their startups. Kevin Kelly.
If you're in the chat room, I just posted.
I didn't realize he was a geek. I thought I was just kind of, you know, a gun carrier, you know. And but then after, you know, that getting, you know, and Joe McKenna, part of it's his fault. And the other part is you. It's you, Rachel. Because every time I see you, I just sit there and go, yeah. And I've been fortunate enough to work in some of these places when I had that job and to see people at their you know, the level of things, how they talk, how they think. I mean, who would have thought a self-healing minefield? They would hop. Minds would hop. If they, you know, when you blow out like a segment, they were talking to each other because they're little communicators and they have like a little mother one. And then they'd start hopping until they got to a spot.
Careful thought.
And they, no, I mean, well, yeah, okay. Maybe it wasn't, but it was the idea of communications and how things could talk to each other.
Oh, yeah.
And then move. And the little, and how about the little RPVs on the ground that would go out as part of security that you would have, you'd have like 100 of them on an airfield, just any type of movement, they'd all zip on over there and they all had cameras. So, I mean,
yep.
These are kind of things.
They may have seemed like ridiculous features at one point.
That's right, but now you see them, and now you're seeing them out there. So, anyway, Rachel Hatch, so much. Thank you so much. And I hope we can do this every month.
Thank you.
That you come back. Yeah, that you come back and we talk about these things. All right, everybody. Everybody have a great day. Remember, tomorrow, Valentine's Day, here's your chance. A card, maybe a flower or two. Make up for that one thing maybe you've done that kind of got them just a little upset. And that's both sides there, okay? Anyway, have a great day. And we'll be back tomorrow.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Large rocks into the area that's been affected, be able to plug that hole. And by evacuating the water at a higher rate through our gated spillway, we're able to lower the level of the reservoir down below the level where the emergency auxiliary spillway is activated.
He tells KNBC-TV roughly 188,000 people are out of their homes, evacuated because of the flooding threat. Another winter storm has buried parts of New England under a lot of snow, and it